Well, good morning. Bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 3. Last week, I began to open up the second message that Jesus Christ came to reveal. And his revealing was not just the message, but the answer in how to carry out the message, or how to carry out the answer. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 11, it says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous." The word message here is not a word that originates in philosophy or a high religious dogma. It's a word that comes from the public voice. This has been man's question from the beginning, or what he says, why can't we just all get along? shouldn't we just love each other? And it's not the answer that they got from Cain and Abel. That's not there. The public voice, what man has been crying out for from the beginning. We ought to love one another unconditionally, but the results for man has remained the same, because it is impossible to achieve without God, without the Spirit of God. Man has only had a love that has conditions, and man has been very good at finding conditions that he will not abide with. Man needs an unconditional love that remains and abides in him. It therefore has to be a love not of human origin or human emotions that change, moods that change, feelings that change, likes and dislikes that change. Only a love based on truth that liveth and abideth forever will remain constant. It is unconditional, or perhaps all conditional. In our wedding liturgy, we always ask the bride and groom to promise themselves, and we say, "Do you take so-and-so to be your lawfully wedded wife or husband? And do you promise to love him or her, cherish her, and sustain her under every condition, in every situation, according to God's holy word?" Answer, "I will." That's part of our liturgy. The answer to that public voice is in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." In every situation, under every condition, according to God's holy word, "and thereto I pledge to you myself," is how that part sort of ends in our marriage liturgy. There's not a place that we can go that does not need the love of God. There's not a job that we can have that does not require the love of God. There's not a relationship that we could be in that does not require the love of God. Because fear abounds. We know it in our culture. Fear is just everywhere. It just abounds. And perfect love casts out fear. And we are loaded with that perfect love. God filled us. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. The answer is God did an unconditional all conditions to send Jesus Christ, regardless of conditions, regardless of situations, to be the Savior of the world. And he did the job. You know, he didn't fail in his mission. He actually was successful in his mission. It does not matter who man thinks should be saved and who should not. It was up to the Father, and he sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. How loving is that? I mean, what religion, what atheistic belief has sent a Savior for the whole world? We don't have to do an undoable job like purifying ourselves before it'll finally be safe to send Christ back. God did all that. He purified us and sent Jesus Christ before the world could even get one-third clean. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing God sent him, because the first time he sent him, the world rejected him. And God's planning to send him back, and he will come. They rejected him, they beat him, and killed him under every condition and every situation. You know. But he came for the haters as well as the lovers, the brilliant as well as the fools. He so loved every race, nation, followers of every religion, and seekers of truth, and ones who seek only their own intelligence. Everyone, Christ did not, there's not one that Christ didn't come for. And he did the job, he was successful. Verse 15, whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. You've got God in Christ in you. You've got the proof of it anytime you want to remind yourself, yes, I am absolutely that loved by God. I am all condition, every situation, loved by God. And he will never leave me nor forsake me. Christ paid for all of our sins. He paid for all the sins of mankind. And we don't have to get perfect. The love that's in us has already been perfected. Tells us in the next verse. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Perfect love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You know, we were taught man's greatest enemy is fear. Yeah. And perfect love casts out fear. And, you know, every situation we can introduce love. It's unconditional. There's not a condition or a situation we can be in that love will be ineffectual. It casts out fear. And we're surrounded by fear on every hand. People are terrified about everything. There's always somebody there to say something terrible, something evil, and get people fearful. And, you know, our lives are very much needed, and our voices, the public voice, is we have found what you were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
We have found that unconditional love, that love that works in every condition, that love that works in every situation. So there is no need to fear or be afraid. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness, that's the confidence to speak with a bold and fearless mind in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has
torment.
But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. It was all initiated by God. It all has its origins and beginning in God. And when he makes something, every good and perfect gift, I was thinking about your prophecy. I only give you good gifts. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no darkness, neither shadow of turning. No variableness, mm-hmm. neither shadow of turning. You know, it's perfect. It's not going to fluctuate. It's not going to turn on us. Verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. This word hateth is really interesting. In the Greek classical writings, it's used to mean hated by the gods. One classical writer used it in this sentence, I thought he loved me, but he hates me as though it were by divine command. You know, for a leader or a mature believer to show hatred for a brother or sister in Christ makes you a liar, because you're indicating to that person that God has disdain for them or hates them. And we've gone through all of that stuff where we've had leaders that treated you as if you were stupid, or treated you as if you were, worse than an unbelieving one, a traitor to Christ, or a traitor to the things of God, a traitor against the Word of God. That's absolutely wrong. This verse tells us, by the usage of that word hate, what is exactly going on. And you may have been in situations where someone that you had respect for, or you revered, that put you in that type of situation where you look to them as if they were the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And this word describes it perfectly. It makes it seem as if they're no longer loved by God. And that's impossible, because nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. It indicates to that beloved one is that he is no longer beloved by God, and it's not true. For God so loved the world, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. And we have to be safe and confident in that truth, because it's the key to our prayer life. It's the key to everything that we do, and all the things that we speak. You know, most of the time that you're working with people, you're assuaging fears. You're endeavoring to get them over their fears. And, you know, we have a lot of friends that brothers and sisters that are coming now out of that type of environment where they've been, you know, lambasted for something or other that makes them feel like they, you know, deserted God or have been disloyal to God. And that is wrong. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. I knew you were going to blow it. He knoweth all things. Jeez. Should have never gave you that responsibility. You just messed it up terribly. No, it's so that our hearts don't condemn us. For if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and we need confidence toward God. If we want to minister healing, we have to have confidence toward God. And then the key is being confident and trusting in His love for us, and being assured that He loves us and that we are doing love's work for people. Because, you know, I believe that the nursing profession does more for healing of people than doctors and pharmacists. You know, I appreciate doctors, I appreciate pharmacists, but it's the nurses that sit there and sort of pat your hand, you know, and you're going to be okay, you know, everything will be okay. What can I get for you? What do you need? Okay. We have to check your vitals, and we'll be coming in and waking you up all night long. Every 2 hours we'll come in and we'll check your vitals. So you know you're not going to get a whole lot of sleep, but we'll try to make it as pleasant as we can. And they do such a great job. That always, you know, their kindness, their graciousness helps to get us through. You know? Mm-hmm. You could say, oh, I need this. Well, yeah, just press that. You need anything, press that button. That's what it's on the side of your bed for. Just press that button. You need some water, press that button. You'll get your water. You know, we'll be there. And whatever you need will be there. I think, you know, in many cases, fear is sickness of a different kind. And same with mental illnesses. They're sickness of a different kind. You know, if your child was at home and they vomited, what would you do? Well, you'd say, oh, they're sick. I need to take care of them. I need to watch over them. You know, honey, what would you like? Would you like me to make you a little soup or something? Okay, you're not hungry yet. Okay, just let me know if you get hungry. I'll bring something in for you. And then in the meantime, you're bringing them something, you know, something that's a treat to them, something that you know, already know about them that blesses them or something, you know.
Help remove the fear.
Yeah, which you do. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be okay, don't worry. Don't be scared. But when we get that harshness with each other, and you want to be on the cutting edge, you don't want them to exsanguinate. That's what the scriptures call living a lie. He is a liar. If he does not love his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. What a message we have to share. Mm-hmm. A great message of love. People are injured every day. We see them all over the place. You know, you go into work and there's people there, they're not coughing and vomiting on the floor, but you see their hearts are injured, their minds are injured. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be an EMT to figure that out. The cure for fear is the love of God. It's loving in all conditions, under every situation, in every circumstance, according to God's holy word. That's what we are to do as ministers. And it's all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, regardless if it's a mental sickness or anything else. So, okay.